Welcome to our Cove Ladies Bible Study with Covenant Church. We are so excited you have joined us in this Bible revival. Our goal is for you to be challenged and inspired to go deeper into your study of the living word. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest updates on when new episodes are posted. Let's go right into the study recorded at Covenant Church.
Welcome, everyone. So good to see everyone. So I am filling in for Casey. So I'm pretty sure I know all of you, but my name's Mandy Caliguri for everybody listening on the recording as well. So tonight, it may be a little bit different. I think Casey had talked to you guys that it's going to be more like a fight time video type deal. I think that there's a lot of interactions, but I'm actually going to do a lesson. And then at the end, depending on how much time that we have, I'm going to open it up so we can have some discussion afterwards. So if that's okay with you guys. Okay, so let me get my glasses on. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about servanthood. I think that it's a very, very important topic to discuss and go over it. And I'm kind of going to go over it in a different way than typically you might hear. So it's a minister that I follow. Her name is Christine Kane. I was listening to a podcast that she was doing not too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, and she was talking about servanthood, and she had said that when she was a teenager, she decided the way that she was going to serve is just taking one step out. So if she saw a need, she would take that step and say yes. So that's how she always looked at servanthood. And I think that that is a fantastic way. So when she was a teenager, she started out cleaning, I think, the church, like certain parts of the church. And then she ended up going in to realize that there was a need in the youth program. And so she started serving with the youth. And it was just that next step. The big purpose that God had for her life was just the next step of saying yes in her life. And so she started serving in the youth program, and that opened the door that she was from Australia, and their churches down there, they would have grants for their churches. And so they had asked her, since she had a college degree, can you look into these grants for our church? She had never done it before, but what she didn't realize is serving in that aspect, God was preparing her for something that she was going to do later on in life, and she didn't know it at that time. So that was when she was in her 20s. Fast forward, when she turned about 40, 41, she actually, God led her into a ministry, and now it's a global ministry. She's almost 60 years old, but it's a Christian ministry that is helping women and children in trafficking. So they pull the women and children, they go in and they find these hubs. And they go in and they pull them out and they minister to them. They speak, they give them love, they give them hope, you know, the things that they didn't have, because a lot of them, you know, they had, you know, been in that for years, and they needed that love of God in their life. And so one of the things they do is lead these people to Christ. And so I just thought that that was a wonderful way of explaining servanthood. it kind of ties into God's purpose for our life. So has anybody ever wondered, like, what is God's purpose for my life? So if you've ever questioned that, hi. If you've ever wondered that, have thought that, like, what does God want me to do with serving others or the purpose for my life? I will tell you firmly, I can say that God's intentions, when Jesus was here walking the earth, he showed us some of that by the way that he lived, because he lived a servant's life. So the best way that we can look at it is the teachings of Jesus and the example of Jesus. So through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has set the ultimate example of what it means to serve others. In Matthew 20:28, it says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." So he's our Lord, he's our God, and he came in flesh to this earth in a very humble way. Even his birth was very humble, to serve others. So if our Lord of Lords and King of Kings came, the Almighty came to this earth and lowered himself down to that level to specifically serve others, I think that's a pretty good indication of what he expects our lives to be. So here's a couple questions that I want you to be thinking tonight. Two questions. We're going to examine and we're going to look at, does our lives reflect what God has called us to do? And then, are we serving the way God has called us to? So those are two things that I want you to keep in the back of your mind as we go through this lesson. I think that you got a pen? Okay. I'm going to drink while you're getting a pen. The scripture? The questions. Does our lives reflect what God has called us to do? And are we serving in the way that God has called us to? So one of the best ways to serve others is to love them. So that is one of the best ways that you can serve somebody else, is to give them love, the love of Christ. We cannot bear fruit of serving others as God intends for us to do without genuinely loving his people. We can't. I mean, without his love, we're going to walk in the flesh. We're going to, I'll get into that here in a little bit, but it's impossible to love all, God's people without genuinely loving people. So if we do not love others as deeply as Jesus does, we cannot serve them as he serves us. This kind of love is beyond our capability unless we first have God's love abiding in us. That's the only way that we're going to love people the way that we're supposed to love them, is if we have God's love abiding in us first. So John 15:5, Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." So we can't love without him the way that we're supposed to love. Jesus goes on to say, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." So he's saying, remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will be overflowing. This is my commandment: love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because the master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. So there's a couple parts that I want to point out. First, Jesus instructs us, the first thing he does is it instructs us to abide in his love. So that's the first thing that we have to do, is we have to abide in his love. So the best way that I can explain it is, we're loving God, he's pouring out his love on us, we're filled with his love, and it says the overflow of joy in our life. And then therefore we can, that overflow is flowing out on other people. So that's how we're able to love. Second part, it says there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus did this by laying his actual life down for us. We as followers of Jesus, we can lay down our life on a daily basis to love and serve others. So this is a scripture used quite often when it comes to military personnel dying in war. They use the scripture, and it's very much that they serve in because they love their family, they love their country, and some of them lose their life. But it is what Jesus was saying too. It's more than that. I mean, we literally can choose every day to lay our life down and serve others. So I'm gonna give you an example. I made this up. This is a made up scenario. This did not happen. I just had to come up with something. Okay, so say I have a girls' day planned out with a group of friends. We're gonna go have lunch, get our nails done, and go see a movie. It's a day that I've been looking forward to for a month. And then I get a call from a single mom of three and that I just met 2 months prior, so I barely know her. She is in desperate need of help moving out of her apartment. If she isn't out of her apartment by 7 p.m. that night, they're going to kick her out and confiscate all of her belongings. I know this is an extreme case, but leaving her with nothing. I have choices. We all have choices. I can either lay down my life and I can serve another, or I can turn a blind eye to what I see the need is and continue on with my girls' day. So I think this is a good, made up, but it's an example of, I mean, what would Jesus do? That's how I try to live my life. What would Jesus do in this situation? Our flesh says, I want to go and watch a movie. I want to go get my toes done. You know, I want to go get a pedicure. But I really believe that if Jesus was in that situation where he was going to go off with his disciples just to hang out in the pasture for the day and eat bread, or or go and serve, I believe Jesus would go and take care of the need. That's just, I believe that that's how he would live. And so I try, and I'm not perfect, but I really try to serve as much as I can. I have really tried to establish a life of servanthood because I believe that's what Jesus has called any follower of Christ. I believe that's what he's called us to be. Okay, so Jesus throughout scripture, he stops what he's doing to address needs. He stopped teaching to heal a paralyzed man that was lowered through a roof. So even though he was serving by teaching, he still stopped and said, this we need to take care of, you know? He stopped to heal a blind beggar on the side of the road. He stops to feed thousands. I mean, I could go on and on in scripture the times that Jesus had stopped, you know, the woman with the blood disorder, and he's walking down the street to go take care of a different need, and she fights her way through the crowd, you know, just to touch him, you know, and he stops. He feels the jolt come out of him and says, who touched me? So he stopped to address that need right then. So and the third point of that scripture that I had went over is that we have been appointed to go and produce lasting fruit. Okay, so I'm going to switch. That is one way we cannot serve without loving people. We can't love people the way that we're called to without God's love abiding in us. So I'm going to switch over to in my belief, the best way that you can serve others. We're going to talk about the Samaritan woman at the well. When the Samaritan woman met Jesus at the well, she received what he was offering her, life through him. She had been searching this world for something to satisfy her. She had been married 5 times, and at that point, she was living with a man that she wasn't even married to, and Jesus knew that. He had told her, Yes, I know you've been married 5 times, and the man that you're living with now isn't your husband. So he knew her personally. It was so when she had met Jesus, she received what he was offering. He was offering her living water. She accepted what he was giving her, and she gladly accepted what he was giving her, knew that he was her savior, that he was, the scripture says, Messiah. We've been waiting for the Messiah. And he said, I am the Messiah. And she accepted that was truth because she personally met Jesus. And she went back to the village and started proclaiming who she had just met, her Messiah. The disciples had came back and were shocked that Jesus was speaking to a woman. His disciples, the ones that had been following him, were shocked. Like, they didn't say anything to him. They didn't say, why are you speaking to a woman? None of them had the nerve, the Bible says. None of them had the nerve to say anything, but they were thinking it. Well, you know, Jesus knew what they were, they knew. And so then the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have the kind of food you know nothing about. They said, did somebody bring him food while we were gone?
Somebody else take care of it.
Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months before planting and harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is the people brought to eternal life. What a joy awaits both the planter and the harvesters alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get the harvest. It goes on to say, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. He knew her personally. It wasn't just a man that she randomly met at the well. She realized that you are my Messiah. You personally know me. And I don't know how I have had experiences with Jesus where it has been personal, only for me. So I can only imagine what she, that's the best way that I can understand what she was experiencing is what I've experienced personally with God giving me a personal revelation or a personal, I could give you examples, but I don't know if we have time, but you know, it's something personal for me, nobody else, but for me. So he knew her. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 more days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know." They knew. So when she went to tell them, they were curious. They were going, we've been hearing about the Messiah coming. And you're saying that you met him? Let me go meet this guy, you know, let me go find out for myself. And so they spent time with him. And so it says, "Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of this world." So I think this is a great scripture to go over that we are called. I believe one of the best ways that we can serve people is to go out and tell them about Jesus, the lost. Because that, I mean, what is more important than, if this is my belief, what is more important than somebody's eternal life in heaven? That is the most important thing there can be. So for me, serving others, to me, that's at the top. And that's, so we must be like the Samaritan woman running to town to tell others what he has done for us. So at that point, we're going to go back into that scripture a little bit because Jesus was saying, sorry, getting a phone call from a representative from Texas. It's election time, huh? So I'm going to go back what Jesus was talking about because he's saying somebody might have already worked this field and you could come along and harvest. But you know what? Sometimes we may just be planting the field in somebody's life. You know what I mean? So you may have somebody that really hasn't been taught or heard about Jesus much in their life. And there may be times that you're just planting seeds in that field, in that person's life. And then somebody else comes along and waters it. And, you know, the hope, my hope for those people is they will choose, because all of us have to seek out our own salvation, that they choose to seek after Jesus themselves so they know how real he is and they can say, "I know how real he is," just like the village people. So so when they seek after Christ themselves, he is faithful to show them who he is and how real he is. And I'm reading and I've already covered some of them. okay. And then I want to point out what Jesus had told his disciples before he went into about the harvest. He told them, "Wake up and look around." Yeah. Wake up! Look around! Yeah. I mean, look at our world. It's falling apart. People are don't have hope. They don't have, you know, they don't have Jesus. I mean, there is such a desire for the people, you know, my family and my friends and the people around me, the people that I encounter and the people that I meet. I'm like, you can have hope. You can have peace. You can have joy, you know. I'm not saying that we don't go through things, but man, it's sure a lot easier with Jesus, isn't it? But he was telling his own disciples, look, wake up, look around. There's people all over. We have a whole village we're talking to right now, you know? So it didn't matter that she was a woman. They were questioning, the disciples were questioning in their minds. He's talking to a woman. Or that she was a Samaritan. Scripture says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So I'm saying to all of us that, you know, we really need to pay attention in our daily walk, in our daily lives of, you know, who needs Jesus? Who can I talk to? Just be open. And if you need help with being able to talk to other people about Jesus, pray about it. You know, get God's wisdom, get his direction on doing that. And I'm also going to say this. I also don't believe in also beating people down, you know, with it. Like, if there is a wall that you're hitting, don't get frustrated. Don't look at that as, oh man, there's no getting through to them. Pray for them. There's probably something in them that's hindering them from accepting Christ. So a lot of times when I'm talking to somebody about Jesus and I hit that wall, and a lot of times, guess what? You're talking to the people out in the world, you're going to hit a wall. Yeah. You are going to hit a wall. So don't let that discourage you from continuing to spread the good news of Jesus. Don't let that discourage you. So if you start hitting that brick wall with people, take a step back, start praying for them, mm-hmm. You know? And our lives are a fantastic, the way we live lives for Christ should be an example of Christ himself. So a lot of times your own life and your own walk is going to lead people to go, how do you have this much joy? I know that you're going through this, and this. How are you going through that right now? Like, how are you not in the corner sucking your thumb, rocking back and forth right now, you know? So our walk, our example, really speaks a lot to other people. Are you doing it now? Okay, so the third one is gonna go for one more thing, John 13. And it we're John 13. It's hold on, let me get my microphone. I don't know if they're gonna hear me down there. So it is, it's the scripture, we're gonna read the scripture about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Okay, so before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that it was his hour. His hour had come to depart from the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything in his hands, that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and laid it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel he tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterwards you will understand." "You will never wash my feet," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also wash my hands and my head." "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." So he was talking about Judas betraying him and that he wasn't clean. Then, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and his messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." I know I'm speaking about all of you. I know that I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. And then it goes on to talk about the breaking of the bread. I'm going to stop right there because we're going to really focus in on the washing of the feet. So this is the things I want to point out. Washing of the feet during their time and their culture, it was the job of the lowest servant in the house. So the lowest servant, that was their job, was to wash the guests' feet. When people would come to the home, the servants of the house would wash the dirt and the filth off their guests' feet. And they wore sandals back then, and they were walking around outside, so I'm sure that they were pretty nasty. And it's not like, you know, walking on a sidewalk or walking in a parking lot to a grocery store with their flip-flops. I mean, they were walking out in dirt and mud and yuck. Probably, I don't even know what, but what they were stepping in. But, you know, they were walking around, you know, outside, and their feet were disgusting. They would need a good washing before entering the home. And Jesus was showing his disciples and us today, he was Lord. I'm going to go back to that again. He was, God robed in flesh, and he took one of the lowest positions that he could of washing feet. What in a home, they understood that back then, that the lowest servant of the home would take that position. And here he was taking that position, showing the example. So no matter, this is for all of us. no matter, I mean, really, literally, if you're the president, the United States president, king, Lois, whatever, wherever you are in society, no matter what you are in your job title, it doesn't matter. Jesus was setting the example that there's no greater when it comes to serving others. So the dirt being cleansed off the feet represents sin. So he was saying that he was telling his disciples, he told Peter when Peter was trying to stop him, that unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And Peter continued and said, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Jesus replied and said, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash. Now, I'm pointing out the specific area. I'm not reading the whole thing over again.
I'm just, if you took a bath, all you need is your feet washed.
Yes. So, except their feet be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. So he was referring to Judas. And Jesus had, hearing knew what was going to happen with Judas. So that us followers of Christ, see, we've been washed. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus. So we've been cleansed. But when we walk around this world, we're picking up things. And sometimes not even fully aware of what we're picking up, you know, listening to conversations, maybe a TV show, whatever. We can be picking up little things. So we're fully washed. Followers of Christ are fully washed, but there's sometimes that we pick up things that does not belong to us. Sin can creep into our lives. It's pretty eye-opening message when Jesus said, if I don't do this, you won't belong to me. He was talking about Peter. He was talking to Peter. Peter had asked him, and that's how he responded. If I don't wash your feet, you're clean. But if you don't get this little dirt off of you, you don't belong to me. So to me, that's a pretty eye-opening statement right there. And so we have to live our lives promptly removing and repenting of the sin in our lives, evaluating and asking the Lord to reveal any sin or dirt that needs to be washed off. So, you know, if there's a conviction that comes over you, if you're convicted of something, stop what you're doing right then. There's, you know, and, you know, get that out of your life. So I want to kind of go over some other things about that. So we don't see people in the New Testament. So Jesus washed your feet. What happened right after? He went and died on the cross and was rose again. And then it goes into, you know, the church, Acts. And you don't see them going out and literally washing people's feet after that. I think it's only talked about one time in the New Testament. And it's about like a deacon's wife, I believe. But I think that it's literally talking that of hospitality, that she may literally have to wash the feet. But what we do see in scripture, because Jesus was setting the example for us by saying of serving one another. So there's multiple scriptures about us helping each other when we're in sin. So as brothers and sisters of Christ, we can literally help each other come out of any sin that somebody's in. So it says in Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, then you who live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, should restore that person gently." So how do we do that? Well, first, I would show them the love of Christ. I mean, gently, I mean, we got to always show the love of Christ. And when you're doing that, you're going to be gentle about it. And we speak, the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love and speak the word of God to them. So the word of God is part of a cleansing process also. So Ephesians 5:25-26, Christ loved the church. He gave up his life to her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. So this scripture is, it's talking to husbands, but it's saying what Christ does for the church, right? Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washing her in the cleansing of God's word. So we see that God's word is a cleansing. Wouldn't you say, when you read the Bible, you're like, ooh, you know, it starts cleansing all that stuff out of you. And so when we're helping somebody that may be, you know, fully washed, that they might have gotten into some stuff, when we're helping them, we're leading them, hoping that they get led into repentance through speaking the truth of God's word to them. And hopefully that leads them to repentance. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. So this is another example of us helping each other wash each other's feet, washing the dirt off, confessing sins to each other, and praying for each other. So we can literally pray for each other. So in the conclusion, we need to, let's help each other in each other's walk so we can remain and abide in our Lord God. Now, this is not meant for us. That is not meant. Jesus did not speak this to us so we can go around trying to find things in people or judging others. That is not what he was saying at all. It's not to point out everything that we think somebody else is doing wrong. That is not what Jesus is saying. But we're supposed to be there for one another to help them, you know, through whatever we see the need is. Okay, so I am going to go over some other ways. Now that I established those things, to me, those are some of the most important ways that we can serve other people. Here's some other, I'm not going to go into, you know, breaking down scripture, but here's some other biblical things that are called out in the Bible of ways that we can serve. We can pray for others, not just, you know, confessing, but we can pray for others. We're serving them when they come and have a need. We're bringing them, we're helping them by bringing them to the Lord. Here's a tough one for all of us. Love your enemies and pray for them. That one's a tough one. And I'll go back to what I originally had spoke on. The only way that we're going to be able to do that is filling up with God's love in us so we can walk the way that he's calling us. Because in our flesh, there's no way that we're going to want to go and, you know, help our enemies. We can serve by carrying each other's burdens. I think love is, it's really important to show love by actions. When you look at the definition of love, it actually says love is a feeling, but the Bible actually says something different. It's you know, I don't have the scripture, but it's love is kind, it's gentle. You know, so world's description of love is different than God's description of love. And so scripture says to feed the hungry and clothe the poor. You can serve with the gifts God has given you. Serve with your time, talents, and treasures. And we can serve by encouraging each other. But I would say, just like what I originally had talked about with that pastor, Christine Kane, how she lived her life by, I'm just going to take the next step of servanthood by saying yes. She would see a need that would need need filled, and she would just take a step into that and say, I'm saying yes to that. I'm going to do that. And God was able to use her in a mighty, mighty way by having that obedient servant heart and loving on people. I mean, now, you know, she's, that ministry is helping thousands and thousands of people. I think that there's like 19 different locations throughout the world that they have that's helping them, not just in Australia or here in the United States, but different locations. So I think that's a beautiful way of having an example to set by it. Look around, see the needs that are around you, and just fill them. Just say, yes, I'll help. I'll, you know. Serving the least of God's people, Matthew 25, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Proverbs 19:17 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him, them. Proverbs 22:9, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So our lives should resemble the love and action of service of Jesus, shining his light in this dark world. We should daily look for ways to serve others. Don't turn a blind eye and lay our lives down and serve with joy and love that comes from God. And that's all I got.
Thank you for listening to our Cove Ladies Bible Study Podcast. Please click the link below to check out all of our upcoming events and classes. Have a great day, and we will see you on the next episode.